What's up, guys? In this episode, I had so much fun sitting down with Dr. Stephanie Knight, the Dean of Simmons School of Education and Human Development at my alma mater, Southern Methodist University. Very, very powerful conversation here around a lot of different topics, including but not limited to her journey as a teacher in US and Middle East, her work and efforts to earn the Toyota Partnership for SMU and for the Simmons School, as well as the graduate program in dispute resolution and conflict management that I was fortunate to graduate from as well. Hope you guys enjoy it as much as we both did. Let me know what you think. Cheers.
This is the Tomas Show, your source for personal and professional development.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Tomas Show. My wonderful guest today is Dr. Stephanie Knight, the Dean of Simmons School of Education and Human Development at Southern Methodist University. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you, Tomas. It's good to be here.
There were several reasons why I wanted, why I invited you, and I'm very thankful that you made the time of your day to really come here. One, because I'm an SMU alumni, obviously. Two, because I attended the dispute resolution program under your umbrella and your leadership. Now, back then there was a different dean, but still you oversee the whole college of human education and development. And three, more importantly, I don't think people understand what type of value your college offers. Mm-hmm. So for those three reasons and many more, I'm just happy that you're here and that we're going to have a very fruitful conversation here. So thank you again.
Thank you. And I have an ulterior motive, because since you were a dispute resolution student, I also plan to interview you as well. So this will be mutually beneficial.
Sounds great. So I'm all about the synergies and mutually beneficial relationships. So I'm just... very thankful and honored, as an immigrant. This was a journey that, it was not easy, certainly, but you guys really empowered me and helped me to get where I am today. And I want to talk about the dispute resolution program here in a little bit, but let's start really with your beginnings. I know that you started your career as a teacher of Spanish and French.
I did.
Yes. So can
now,
you talk about that a little bit?
I would love to be able to say, like many others say, that I knew I wanted to be a teacher from the time I was a little girl.
Yes.
I did not want to be a teacher.
Yes.
In fact, I went to University of Kentucky, and my goal was to study these Romance languages.
Yes.
And then to get a job, perhaps with the UN, with some exotic international company in some place like Rome or Madrid or Paris. Okay, London in a pinch.
Yes.
I couldn't use my language, but it would be fun. But I thought at the time I could always fall back on teaching, because after all, can't anyone teach?
Of course.
We've been in classrooms, so we think that we can do it. So I did not get that exotic international job, and I ended up teaching eighth grade in inner city Houston.
Yes.
Now, if you are in education at all, eighth grade is enough to scare you to death. And being in the inner city, it has all of the challenges that you would have. And I had absolutely no education background and didn't think I needed it. I was the worst teacher you could imagine. I knew there must be something other than just knowing your content.
For sure.
And so I didn't have it, because I could not relate to those students.
What were some of the other factors that helped you realize that the teaching was simply not for you?
Well, what's interesting is that once I got into that situation, I decided it was for me.
Yeah.
That I experienced something that I've now come to call a teaching high. And so you're an athlete. You know that when you're working out or when you're running,
yes,
that there's a time when the adrenaline kicks in.
Of course,
in,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
You are motivated and you love it and you are addicted to
yes,
it.
Yes.
Well, imagine that happening when you realize that you have helped another person learn something that they wouldn't have learned otherwise.
Yes.
And when that happens, you get this rush of adrenaline and you are addicted to teaching.
I agree.
And that's why they pay us so little, because we have an addiction like that.
You know, I, and to your point, like in my career, you know, I've been out of college for quite a while, but what I've been realizing more is the majority of my career, I have been in sales, outside sales, client facing roles, and I enjoy sales. I'm really very passionate about that. However, what makes me happy even more, to your point, is really making an impact on another human being and how they feel and perhaps how they shift their mind, you know, in a different landscape of things where they haven't been before.
Yes.
That's where I get chills of like, oh my God, I literally was able to do something that impacted perhaps that person's life. Mm-hmm. So I always, talk about that to some of my friends. You know, teachers, of course, we know that they don't, perhaps the level of pay there is not what it should be, but I always admire those people that are more than anything givers than the consumers, because it's easy to find something and just take. But people, I feel like yourself, that are focused on giving first and foremost, that's where I have the utmost respect, and that's where I look for, you know, guidance and lessons.
Well, so. You better be careful, because I'll recruit you to teach here at SMU. So, and I know that you don't expect to be paid a lot, right? For this teaching. No, I think that is what is special about this profession, is that you do feel like you get up every day and you make a difference in someone's life. So teaching hooked me at that time, but I did realize I didn't know enough about it, that there was a knowledge base to teaching, and I needed to understand how students learn.
Yes.
So I went back to school. I taught a year there, and I went to Lehigh University.
Oh, wow, on the East Coast. Yeah.
Yes.
And one of my teammates, almost one of my best friends, actually. What's funny is, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I want to hear.
Back in 2006, before I were to come to SMU, we went to Lehigh University because it was one of the schools he was considering to go on and play potentially. Yeah. So that's my connection with Lehigh, but I've been on
then
campus.
Then you know that steep hill that you have to go
I've
on.
Been at Lehigh. Yeah, so it's I've spent my first year in America. I've spent in New England, kind of all over. Well, I was in Maine primarily, but I was going south through New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and other states going down, obviously. So I'm very familiar geographically.
Well, that's very few people tell me that when I tell them about my Lehigh background.
Yeah, that's
but
awesome.
But they had a program that was wonderful. You received a master's and certification, and they also they coached you for your first year of teaching. And that's one of the most vulnerable years, because you don't know it all. And you need that additional mentoring in order to be successful. So I felt very fortunate. And that was where I think I became really interested in urban education, because Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at the time had urban characteristics.
Yes.
But it was at a time when the steel mills had failed, and there was a large number of Puerto Rican immigrants in the schools there whose needs weren't being met.
For sure.
And the fact that I spoke Spanish helped with that.
And another thing about Lehigh, I don't know how much you follow basketball, but one of your four really prominent alumni, CJ McCollum, he plays for Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of the few that ever, because Lehigh, many people don't even know what it is.
That's right.
And he really made a name for himself, and he's one of the best, I think, NBA players. So I'm always
thinking basketball.
Yeah, I'm thinking basketball. I'm thinking the connection to your university still. But I'm interested to hear, so from Lehigh then, obviously that was pretty revolutionary and eye-opening experience for you. So what happened right after
that? I do want to take a little side trip, though, since you mentioned basketball.
Absolutely, please.
And I told you that I was from University of Kentucky.
Yes,
so
yes, John Calipari.
We need some time when we're not in the podcast to talk basketball.
Oh, absolutely. All day, every day. I always tell people, this is crazy, but you know, how can you get somebody's attention, right? Like, let's say if people try to talk to me or talk to you, I mean, there's so many ways in which we can relate with another. Mm-hmm. And I always say, talk basketball to me. It's like the love of my life, really, because of which I am where I am today. So I'm sure you can, we can relate to that.
That's
as well.
Good.
But I'm happy
but
to
I'll
talk.
Go back to my journey then. Sure, we'll sure. take that trip sometime else. But I taught for quite a while in actually in the Houston area, and then spent 7 years overseas teaching yes. in Saudi Arabia, wow. which was really interesting, and I think gave me that kind of multicultural experience
yes.
that really enriched That's amazing. My teaching. I came back to the States and taught in a high school in the Houston area. And it was at a time when we had a large number of immigrants coming from two different places, part of them from Asia, Vietnam primarily, yes. and another group that was coming from Latin America. Mm-hmm. At the time, no one knew what to do with this large these large number of students who could not speak English. Mm-hmm. So they put the Vietnamese students in my French class.
Yes.
And they put the Latin American in my Spanish class. So because at least I could communicate
yeah,
with them.
For sure.
But what it, and it was interesting though, the Vietnamese students really didn't speak French
yes.
at that time. So we were not communicating in three or four languages.
Yeah.
But what it made me realize and was that teachers were being challenged with something they desperately wanted to help these students succeed. Mm-hmm. But if you cannot communicate, that is a basic.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
And so what I thought was that we are criticizing teachers for this, and we're not helping them to understand how to cope with the challenge of the needs of these students. So I did what I usually do when I'm confronted with a problem. I went back to school. And yes, it's a habit. You'll yeah. see it's a trend.
Yeah.
But I enrolled in a program for a doctorate at University of Houston. And
yes.
University of Houston, of course, an urban area that there was a lot of expertise that
for
could
sure.
help me with this. And my idea was that I was going to make a difference at a bigger, a higher level, that I
yes.
was going to be able to prepare teachers
yes.
for the challenges that were coming up. So that started my higher education track.
Track
I
career.
Did not go back to the K-12 classroom.
Uh-huh.
I ended up taking a position at Texas A&M University.
Yes. And you spent there quite a while.
I right? was yeah. there for 20 years.
Wow.
Yes. So
are you one of those proud Aggies that have a, no, you didn't
I
get it.
Didn't.
You didn't study anything.
I
there.
Didn't study there,
yes.
but as a professor, one of the funny things that happened is they have something called a fish camp. I don't know how familiar you are with
no.
it.
Idea.
Traditions, but Texas A&M traditions are notorious.
Oh, they are, and I'm very impressed with the network that they
oh.
have and what they do, how close they are.
It is amazing.
Yes.
And so fish camp is an opportunity for freshmen to learn about those traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a fish camp namesake, so they had a camp night.
Yes.
They invited me to come and spend the night out there. I didn't know that I was supposed to respectfully decline that. And I went out and spent a night at a
yeah.
fish camp where finally at 3 a.m. I asked them if they would let me off and let me go to sleep because
yes.
I didn't think I could sing any more Aggie songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it did acclimate me to all the tradition, and it was a wonderful experience for 20 years.
Wow. You touched on something that was very interesting to me, obviously, as a individual that came from overseas to really pursue my dreams here in the U.S. back in 06. But you did spend some time in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in Riyadh or were you somewhere else?
No, I was in two different places.
Two different places?
I was in the American schools, but I was
okay.
in camps,
okay.
in the American camps. And I had a large number of Saudi, Indian, other nationalities in the classroom.
Yes.
So it was very mixed. I was in Dahran
okay.
and then in Ras Tanura, and Ras Tanura is the supertanker port
yeah.
that's across from Iran.
Iran,
so
yes.
So there were some interesting times in the 80s.
What was your motivation behind it? Was it just curiosity at the time or the way your career has...
You know, it's interesting. I always, when you tell your journey, you always hope that it sounds more intentional
yeah.
than it actually was.
Yes.
But it was at a time when teachers are not paid very much.
Yes.
And I was not making ends meet.
Yes.
And saw an advertisement in a newspaper that they wanted engineers and teachers in Saudi
wow.
Arabia. So I thought, let's take a risk.
And it's interesting because today I think it's more common than anything else. That is, I know some friends that frankly traveled to Europe, maybe not to Saudi Arabia, but they are in Europe teaching right now because of these programs that have been created. So perhaps people like yourself, I think, have paved the way in some shape or form, because all of a sudden the demand has increased. And now, you know, folks, some of my friends and people of that generation believe that that's something perhaps that they could try and really provide value to the population living over there.
I think so. And also to learn, you know, you learn as much about yourself.
Yeah.
When, and you probably know this from your experiences,
yes.
When you're in a different culture,
yes.
As you do about that culture itself.
Oh my God, yeah. It's such an eye-opening experience. And I always encourage parents. I'm not a parent yet. We're aspiring parents here in the nearest future. But I always, when I talk to parents, I always say, if you are blessed enough to have kids, help them understand that it's important to go out of state, not just to be in Texas, but go out of state, go out of the country if you can financially, because your landscape will expand dramatically and you will understand different things that you wouldn't have understood otherwise. Because you can learn different things from internet, from media, that in some cases it could be just portrayed for a purpose the way it is presented. But there's nothing like experiencing something on your own. So I admire that. It's very rare that I hear that someone, especially in the 80s, I mean, that's that's an amazing, I think, amazing accomplishment. And I think that's when I saw your resume, that stood out to me right away, because I feel like I can relate in that capacity. Like, you were not afraid to go to Middle East to teach. I mean, that's the bottom line, really, you know, and I think, I hope you give yourself credit for that, because if not, I'm giving you that credit right
now.
Well,
I'm so glad you are. Thank you. But that also is one of the reasons I value SMU, too, because SMU has a very good study abroad program.
Yes.
And opportunities for experiences outside of Dallas, outside of Texas. And it's so enriching. And until students have that kind of opportunity, they don't even realize how valuable it is.
So from Texas, let's transition. I wanted to hear more about your next journey. So Texas A&M, 20 years, and then Pennsylvania State?
Penn State University,
yes.
And that was is State College. So I went from College Station to State College.
Wow, okay.
And
so you were working with Mr. Joe Paterno, right?
Joe Paterno was there at the time.
Yes.
And that was a very difficult time. And that's how I got into administration, is that it was a time when Penn State was soul searching. We were absolutely shocked. And there was a lot of emotion around Paterno, who had given so much to the university.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
These other experiences, which were so horrible and terrible for us to understand.
Yes.
So morale was very low. And I had been a faculty member and enjoying my research and enjoying working with students and teaching classes. And I had really avoided any kind of administration.
Yes.
But I had a request to become an associate dean in the College of Education at Penn State. And I really felt like it was time for me to give back. This was a time when I could make a difference at a level higher than just the department and just my own students. So I found out that I actually loved it. I enjoyed the interactions that I had with a large number of people, students, faculty, other administrators. And I thought I would be there still.
So,
but there was a very, very convincing headhunter, I'll call it, who kind of piqued my interest. She said something to the effect, "So you were in College Station and State College, and you're an urban expert."
Yes.
"What kind of urban area are you studying?"
Yeah.
"At Texas A&M and Penn State. Come to Dallas and you'll find a university that has the urban environment in its backyard."
Clearly he did research. Obviously he was not just looking to perhaps, you know, fill the role, but also understanding, you know, who their audience was.
Yes. So, yes.
So needless to say, that's how you ended up here.
I finally said, okay, you know, I'm curious. You've said so many wonderful things about SMU. I knew SMU's reputation because I'd been at Texas A&M. So I said, well, I'll go for an interview. And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yes. But I do remember the first time I arrived on campus and I looked at the, you know, the Highland Park area. Mm-hmm. And I initially thought, I think this is a bait and switch. This doesn't look like downtown Dallas to me. So the provost at the time, and I expressed that to him, and I was teasing him about it. And he said, well, let's take a little field trip. And he took me over to Dallas Hall, and we climbed to the top of Dallas Hall.
Yes.
And, of course, what I could see from there were all the high-rise buildings in the Dallas area, and that we were right in the midst of it.
In the heart of Dallas, basically. Yeah.
So the opportunities that I could have in an urban area, in a university as innovative as SMU, and also with people in the area, alums and citizens who are so philanthropic.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's an incredible environment.
If I may share my journey a little bit.
Please.
People ask, you know, why I came to the university, to SMU, and it wasn't just for basketball. When I first came here on campus, I think as a prospect athlete at the time, you were allowed to have those college visits, perhaps. So I took a 3-day visit here, and I had some of the similar reflections to you. I saw the school that was beautiful in the heart of Dallas. I knew I wanted to pursue a business degree at the time. I didn't even know I'm going to get my master's here as well at the Simmons School, but I knew genuinely that if basketball doesn't work out, I feel like my future could be pretty safe here if I work hard, because I could earn those degrees, surround myself with some mentors, people that have experienced it, advisors, personal board of directors, and to your point, the level of resources that the school has to provide to students, and I'm always about resources and really capitalizing on what's around me. As an immigrant, it was just something that I haven't experienced, and I told myself I would be a fool if I didn't capitalize on this opportunity, because I had some other looks, and I was fortunate to have those looks. Some of my teammates didn't, but I think it was one of the best decisions that I've ever made, period. And now, you know, I graduated, you know, I'm a professional of, you know, I've been out of college almost 10 years, and it's just, I feel like that thought 10 years, you know, more than that, 10, 15 years ago, I feel like I'm that much more that I made the right decision.
Yes.
Because, you know, we talked about the A&M network, but SMU graduates, I even tell people this, you know, the young students. You can do your own research and find out where SMU alumni are. And I would be stunned if somebody doesn't respond to your message for help, for guidance, et cetera. So all that being said, I'm just very happy that we share that bond, even though you didn't study here, but yet I think we have such a fine representation in your persona. That this university has as well as a whole, not only Simmons School. So that goes a long way.
Well, I'm so impressed with, I've been here a year and a half,
yes,
and every day I find something new and wonderful about SMU, and particularly about the Simmons School of Education as well. But I will tell you a little anecdote.
For sure.
I knew that SMU was prestigious. I didn't realize how valued they were in Dallas until I came down. We had just moved here. We went to a restaurant in downtown in order to celebrate our move here.
Yes.
And so in the process, the maitre d' said, why are you here? Have you been here before? And then my husband, very proud, said, my wife is the new dean of the Simmons School of Education and Human Development at SMU. And of course, embarrassing me. But at the end of the meal,
he was just proud of him.
He was proud. Proud he husband. Just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I would do the same thing probably. Showcase my wife to be what type of job she has earned. Yes. You know?
At the end of the meal, the waiter brought out a little cake that said, "Welcome, Dean."
Wow.
And so I knew that SMU had to have a special reputation in town for them to do that for me.
So what are, you know, you've been here, you know, a year and a half almost, right? What are some of your thoughts, reflections? You've obviously been blessed to spend time at other academic institutions, and we also talk about Saudi Arabia, and you lived and worked in a lot of places. How do you think this university differs from other institutions where you studied and worked at?
And the I loved the institutions where I studied.
Of course,
all of them.
No doubt.
Wonderful, positive things to say about them. But SMU is special in a way I haven't experienced, and it's a combination of innovation, entrepreneurship, resources, imagination, and a lack of restrictions on innovation, I guess say. And I don't mean that it's risky, but it sees the potential and helps you to achieve it.
Absolutely.
So I feel like here, if I have good ideas, I can get the support for them to make them real. And I think we talked earlier about what I consider so far the most exciting thing I'm doing here.
Yes.
And that's the partnership between Toyota,
Which is amazing.
And SMU. It is an amazing partnership to create a pre-K STEM school in the West Dallas area, STEM-focused school.
Yes. Can you talk about a little bit more about that? I know we've had a conversation prior to sitting down here, but I think for those that have not heard, whether it's students, alumni, or just listeners, period, I think what Toyota is doing is something something really special. Can you elaborate how this partnership came about and what's the sole objective going forward?
Yes, and it is very special. And I credit Toyota for having this kind of insight into what's needed in a community and into Dallas ISD for being able to be innovative. There are large school districts, and sometimes that doesn't happen. But basically, Toyota and I arrived at about the same time, and I had an early meeting with them. And they were wanting to give back to the community, and they were interested in West Dallas in particular. There is the Youth Academy is in that area. You probably
might be right. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah.
And so they were wanting to do something in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And so we talked about the possibility of putting together a community hub school.
Yes.
That would be community-based, that would have the best opportunities for the students in that area, that would contribute to a workforce later that Toyota and other industry in Dallas desperately need.
Yes.
And we agreed that starting early probably made most sense, and particularly at a pre-K level, so that you can provide the opportunities that are needed to succeed. So what we are doing, we have a 3-year planning grant, and we are developing the school. We're developing curriculum. We're developing professional development. We're thinking about the kinds of wraparound services that you can add that would contribute to the health and well-being of the families in the area. We have a couple of units in Simmons that are particularly helpful in this. The Bud Center is a unit in Simmons that has had a long history with West Dallas nonprofit organizations. They have something called the School Zone.
Yes.
And they get together the nonprofits and they provide them with data about the students that they're serving so that they can improve their services to the students in West Dallas. So they will be a key player in this collaboration. We also have something called CORE, and that's the Center for Research and Evaluation. The intent of this grant is to provide a model that can be transported to other places. And CORE will be doing the research and evaluation that will enable us to create this model so that we'll be able to adapt it and take it to different parts of Dallas or to different parts of
Texas or even nationwide.
Yes, even nationwide. So what we'll be doing is documenting what are the best practices, what works for whom, under what conditions.
Yes.
And then also being able to document how does industry and large school, urban school districts and universities, how do they work together so that they're putting all of their resources to bear on some of the challenges that we have in urban education with underrepresented populations. So exciting.
Yes, I think that's amazing. You know, that speaks not only a volume of Toyota, but speaks to your leadership, speaks to Simmons, you know, our university. I love that concept, that idea, that I think will be something special. And you know, Toyota, I have a privilege to work down the street from Toyota. I mentioned that briefly to you, and I think people underestimated a little bit the powerful brand that they have because they relocated, you know, to North Dallas area, to Texas. And it's not only, you know, the big headquarters that they have, eco-friendly, and it's beautiful, and it's, you know, high efficiency and whatnot. But to me, and to your point, one of the best things about them is their philanthropic splash. It's not only about, now I am biased because I drive a ton Toyota Tundra. So my
little commercial there for Toyota.
My parents have a Corolla. I used to drive a Camry, but it's not even, you know, about the cars, but ever since they got here, I had a privilege to meet some of their executives and just employees, period. And they were always from the get-go seeking to get involved, to make a impact. And I think that's one of those definitely causes and ways in which they will leave their mark and collaborate with SMU, you know, to really leave legacy as a unit, as a team.
Well, what's so amazing is that it is not just writing a check.
Yes.
They are serving as co-leads and members of all of our design teams. So we have a representative from SMU,
yes,
a representative from Toyota, and a representative from Dallas ISD on every design team, the curriculum team, professional development, distributed leadership, and on and on. And they are actively working with us to plan what this school is going to look like. And I also want to praise Dallas ISD. I have worked with a lot of urban school districts, and Dallas is the most innovative and forward-thinking that I have ever experienced. So this could not happen in another area.
Absolutely,
this is a Dallas.
And I think shout out to Dallas ISD obviously for everything that you guys have been doing and this partnership specifically. But you mentioned something that is that stuck out to me, and that is Toyota is not only signing a check. Mm-hmm. And I think in today's day and age, and I talk about it openly too, where there are organizations, obviously, where they have you know, community responsibility, ventures and engagements. And I always say this, it's easy to sign a check, but if you actually have employees involved and hearts very deep into the core of the cause where you're walking the talk really, and not just signing a check because it's an easy, perhaps, solution. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the true value comes out, and really, you know, a giving nature of any organization. I don't care if it's for-profit, non-profit, but I think that's something that stood out to me.
And they have so much that they can add to the partnership. And yes, I think that was surprising as well. I mean, their project management skills, their process skills, their professional, I'll call it professional development. They would probably call it training.
Yes.
But all of those things enrich the discussions that we have about applying this to schools.
Yes. So I want to transition to something that is close to my heart.
Yes.
And that is, you know, your journey obviously is very inspiring. And I hope that those are listening, if you don't know Dr. Knight, obviously accomplished a great level of success. We're very thankful that she's here. And under the Simmons School of Education and Human Development umbrella, there is a program that is close to me, and that is the dispute resolution and conflict management program. And I got to tell you this, and we talked about it briefly, you know, before we went on the podcast, but it was something that really changed, I think, my life. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I knew kind of, you know, internally that I want to study, you know, so I have an undergrad in business, and that was kind of my goal, my objective, and I was very fortunate to accomplish that. But then, you know, you go out, you graduate, basketball ends, you know, you think that the sky is the limit and you can accomplish anything because you were an athlete and because you have one degree, and then life happens and you hit the wall. And that's where the program really was clutch for me, because frankly, at the time, it was a way for me that saved me here. I was able to stay in a country, and not only that, but more importantly, just obtain such great value. And really, I think it reshaped me as a man. It helped me mature. It helped me understand how people think, how people communicate. I think listen better. I don't think this program is discussed enough here in the community. And I genuinely believe it's very undervalued and underpriced. So that's just kind of my feedback to you, because I feel like you're the best source of capturing that feedback. But, you know, how can we together as a unit, I love, you know, obviously collaborating with different people, and how could we help people understand, you know, what this program has to offer, what Simmons School of Education has to offer. And you know, I've seen some advertisements along the tollway or on the radio, and you guys are doing a great job doing that. But how can we make it even more appealing and apparent that this is a degree that people should pursue?
And that question makes me very happy for you to ask that. That was one of the, I said that I kept encountering surprises that were wonderful. And the dispute resolution and conflict mediation was one of those surprises, because it's not something that every school or college of education has.
Yes.
They were located in Plano when
Correct.
You went through the program.
Correct.
Since then, they have come to the SMU campus, and that we're hoping that we can take advantage of their expertise. I mean, as a businessman, you find the skills
Yes.
very valuable. I think they can be valuable to many, many other professions and other people as well. So they are now on campus.
Yes.
And we do want to get the word out. I think one of the best ways to do that is hear people's stories
Yes.
about their experiences with it. And I listen very carefully. I want to hear the good stories. I want to hear bad stories as well, so we know how to improve. So just experiences with dispute resolution.
Yes.
Now, I feel very confident in asking you about your experience, because you gave that preface that was wonderful,
yeah.
And I know that the experiences were good. So tell me what it was about the program that made such a difference for you.
And I appreciate you asking.
You're
catching me off guard a little bit. I'm not going to lie, because the podcast is about you and not about me. But for the sake of conversation, I'm very comfortable to providing that, because I think, and for the context of for listeners, people need to understand this. I think one of the core principles for any human being to develop is to how to communicate effectively and how to listen effectively, how to develop your interpersonal skills and your social skills. And for me as an immigrant, and for English to be as a second language, you know, I'm thankful because my parents pushed me to study English very early, and then I got here. And I didn't really expect, I think it's important to highlight this, I didn't really get a chance to choose what master's degree at the time I want to go into, because I had some time restrictions, pertaining to securing my status here in the country. But as I learned more and more about it, I got a chance to get to know Betty Gilmore. Shout out to Betty Gilmore and your whole staff and faculty, who today is she's a dear friend. And I said, you know what? Out of the two or three programs that were still accepting applications at the time, I thought that this would be an amazing opportunity, probably diving into something that I don't know what to expect about. But I love those experiences because ultimately I know that they will help me one way or another because they throw me out of my comfort zone. It's not something that I expect. Life happens, just like you were saying earlier. And then all of a sudden you become that much more wiser. And I think, like I was saying earlier, it made me mature more. It helped me understand, the principle, how to communicate effectively of psychology. I wish I took psychology in college, but I didn't. And I will definitely encourage my future kids to do that. But more importantly, I feel like what was amazing about this program is, I know you said you're changing it to the semester, semester program. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I don't know, I think it's still being offered. We did the quarterly semesters.
Yes, they're still offering that.
But
now.
The amazing thing about the program was the fact that it was wide open. Mm-hmm. To there was no groups based on your age, based on your level of experience. It was so diverse that I felt like a fish in the water because I can relate. I'm fortunate to really say that, but I can relate with almost anyone. And when I saw people that are changing their careers and they're making the transition, or senior executives that pursuing that degree because they want to get better, perhaps unfortunately single moms after a divorce where they want to strengthen their skills, and they heard about the ad, and to me, I was like, oh my God, this degree is not only going to be about the coursework, but the power of the people I'm in the classroom with, not necessarily from a corporate level power, but the power of interaction and of sharing experiences together. And you know, I was in classes with folks, you know, in their 40s, 50s. I was one of the youngest there. And some of the people, some of my classmates were like, well, why are you, you know, taking this master's degree? And I told them why, and they understood. But I just genuinely don't believe that people understand how powerful that was, because I took courses like psychology of conflict, like negotiations, like neuroscience, and it was very practical, more than anything else. We did mention before we walked in here, as an undergrad, I took some courses like art of acting and public speaking that were very practical, really threw me out of my comfort zone. And almost every course in the curriculum for dispute resolution course was practical, whether it was applicable to your personal life or to your professional life. And people were like, what do you want to do with this degree? Do you want to mediate? Do you want to be a lawyer? And I said, just because I'm studying it, I don't have to be in either of those. I feel like it's just human empowerment. Like you're empowered that much more by skill set. It's funny because like I was graduating and I was dating one girl, another girl, and now I'm engaged, soon to be married. And all of a sudden you use those skills in your relationships, in your professional life. I think it strengthened my leadership skills too, because I'm all of a sudden, you know, more wired of like what's going on around me and how to talk to people and really understand body language. And so
now
I've said a lot of things, but hopefully that's what something that you were looking for.
I love that, because I hadn't thought of the angle of, I've often said this, that it would impact your leadership skills.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about dating skills, however, but
it's unbelievable. That's kind of ironic. You know, I remember dating a girl at the time, and I was providing her solutions based on the coursework in class, because I genuinely thought I have some merit behind it. Mm-hmm. And she would call me out at the time. I think you know it all because you're this conflict resolution expert. So it was hysterical, but I wasn't trying to be one at the time. I was just trying to provide some, situation analysis to what was going on. So I don't think people understand how much value that that program takes, provides, is immediately applicable to anything that you do on a daily basis.
That's interesting. And if you're not interested in a master's degree, they also have a certificate.
Yes,
so
they do.
For a shorter period of time, you could acquire some of those skills without going for the master's degree.
Yes.
I suppose that counts as a commercial for the dispute resolution.
Sure,
it?
Sure. I hope after Betty listens to us, listens to this, and your staff, you guys will give us a call and we'll get lunch or cocktails or something. No, but it's all love. Like we genuinely mean it. And I always tell you this too. It's, I think the biggest, power that this university has when it brands itself, I'm a marketing guy by nature, when it brands itself, when it promotes different programs, I think students are just like employees of an organization. Students are going to an institution. So when an institution is trying to advertise, or when an organization, a for-profit, is trying to work on their brand, those employees and those students have the most powerful voice, mm-hmm. because I feel like that's where they're really where people can relate and resonate with those that went through it. Because if we just advertise as a unit, as an organization, nonprofit, for profit, whatever the case is, that message is good, but it's not as powerful. It can be lost in translation and simply forgotten. But if you see an employee and their face, and you know, if you see a Kelvin Beecham, mm-hmm. that went through Simmons School of Education, and he's at the forefront not only of the offensive line for the New York Jets, but forefront of the business world, nonprofit. I think that's the most one of the most powerful statements that we can ever do, not only as Simmons School of Education, but as a university. And we talked about others like Whitney Wolf from Bumble and Kevin Lavelle with his clothing line, Mizzen and Main, where he has Phil Mickelson and J.J. Watt from Houston Texans being models for him. You know, so I think the ultimate power behind any degree and behind this institution and any other institutions are those students that can showcase their voices and provide the reasoning for future or aspiring prospective students why this particular field of study.
You've really made me think more deeply about this, particularly I think earlier we were talking about our motto.
Yes.
World changers,
yes.
Shaped here.
Yes, yes.
And so when you talk about,
yes.
those individuals who have been world changers,
yes, yes.
they are the most convincing,
absolutely.
Advertisement that we could have.
Absolutely. And I love our billboards on along 75 and along the tollway, and we've talked about it. Some of the most common ways in which people hear about SMU and want to hear about a program is because of, you know, an advertisement, mm-hmm. or because of a radio announcement. And if we were to have Kelvin Beecham's persona on that billboard, I mean, all of a sudden that has so much more magnitude and meaning, and it's inspirational, you know, because we look as young people, as you know, and this podcast, you know, those young listeners out there, they look for sources of wisdom, of information, of people on social media to follow, and if you know they drive, or if they talk to their friend and they, oh, where are you going to college? Oh,
or
I'm going
to
listen
to podcasts,
or to listen to, no, exactly. But if they see something, or they listen to, or they read, and that resonates, mm-hmm. it's 100% because of a person that told them or transcribed their message and their experience in some shape or form, as opposed to, you know, perhaps some research that is valid too, because anybody can find facts about SMU. But I feel like there's so much more to it than that, and the power of the institution is always, and that's my genuine belief, will be behind those people that graduate and accomplish a level of success, because that makes our institution that much more powerful. And makes that statement, world changes shaped here, than actual and valid.
Well, and that's what I hope for the new model school students when we come online. And actually, we began with a few grades in 2020, 21. But what I hope for them is that they can identify with these world changers
yes.
that we have at SMU, that we can provide
Absolutely.
Some of those models for them. I also, when you were talking about the dispute resolution, wondered if you think that something like that is too early to start students thinking about. How do you mediate conflict? How do you resolve disputes?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's something that could be applied to the
My
school
gosh,
children?
I wish like psychology of conflict or even one of those courses, if this was offered to undergrad population, it would blow people away. Mm-hmm. I genuinely believe that, because as a young person that, you know, you grow up, you mature, one of the most common things that happen is you face conflict, whether it's in athletics or at home sometimes when you disagree with your parent or your sibling, with your friends, with your boyfriend, girlfriend. So if we could teach, you know, our kids and students how to resolve conflict effectively early, I think that would help them then really face the altercation or so they don't fear it. They don't fear confrontation, not altercation, but they don't fear confrontation and ultimately conversation, because that's the glue, that's the source of any perhaps or most conflicts that arise. It's lack of communication or inconsistent or perhaps poor. So if we could do that in undergrad and perhaps do some type of collabs with between different colleges, there may be long-term planning and kind of wishful thinking, but you know, one course would change the game. I wish I had that in college. Because that would help me, you know, as I navigate through my athletic career, through my academics. We actually worked with a sports psychologist as athletes, Deb Wade, who no longer works here, but she's a dear friend. And, you know, we were working with her directly. And that was one of my first eye-opening experience that made me wish I perhaps double majored with psychology.
Well, I really like the way that you're characterizing it, because I'm seeing you think about productive conflict.
Oh, yes.
That
yes.
conflict can lead to growth.
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, that's the source. You know, those are the lessons that if any conflict that I think arises in our lives, not only should be resolved, because we shouldn't spend time on drama and things, but naturally will arise, because that's just how we are humans. We're not perfect. But if we don't learn from those mistakes, and if we don't learn how to navigate the conflict and different types of personalities, I think that's what people may not understand. That's what they're never thought about it. And that's why it was, again, one of the most powerful experiences I've had, because now, I mean, it's like, to me, it's like second nature almost. Like something happens, and to me, it's a snap of a finger. I know what to do. I know how to address it, and I move on. And if somebody that lacks that, I come to the table and I go to my toolbox that I believe I possess, and I walk them through what's happening and why. And if I didn't study that graduate program, I don't think that would be the case.
But I can hear you saying that it's not just content and skills. It's a different way of thinking.
Yes.
And that's what you came out with.
Yes.
For a degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's, I mean, we could talk about it, you know, for a long time, you know, as far as the value of the program. And I just hope that, that because of you primarily, not because of me, but because of you and your leadership, you know, more and more students, prospective students, people here in Dallas, in the community, will explore not even that career, but just it's not an expensive program. You would be surprised, but it's not an expensive program, but even to really better yourself as a person, as a professional, nothing else. Don't look at it as a career, but say, you know what? I'm going to be that much wiser. I will have a better set of interpersonal skills. I will study something that will be very empowering from an intellectual perspective and will make my life easier going forward. That would be the key. I mean, that's...
I'm so glad this is being recorded because you're better than any billboard nah. or radio yeah. advertisement.
Well, what you don't know is Dr. Knight is sending me a check. No, of course, that's not true. I you know, part of me is just very blessed with the journey that I've been on because it hasn't been always peaches and cream. For those that know me, they know what I've been through off the court and on the basketball court. And you know, SMU has really helped me. So it's my responsibility, you know, to help others, to help students. And this podcast came, you know, because of that, because I know that there's a younger generation that is wondering what to do and how and who to talk to and how to get something done. And I know from a practical perspective that when I was them, I was seeking advice of those practitioners, students, alumni, mentors. So I'm essentially passing the torch back. That's really what it's about. And the sooner we realize that, the better.
That's wonderful. It is.
So so I hope that helps. I hope that that helps you. And you know, anything else you want to add on top of that?
I've enjoyed our conversation. And yeah. I forget that we're taping it.
Yeah.
But what it has helped me is, as you tell your journey,
yes.
you always get insights along yes. the way that you didn't have before when yes. you replay it. So telling you about my journey has helped me also. And I've really enjoyed learning more about my programs here at, yes. At Simmons as well.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously we cannot forget that there's, you know, can you share real quick what other programs
yes.
are available? I think for just education and context purposes.
Yes, we have a four and I'll add a fifth
okay.
onto that.
Okay.
But you've mentioned the dispute resolution
yes.
and counseling
yes.
and they have been located in Plano, but are
yes.
now moving to the
yes.
SMU campus here in Dallas. So
yes.
we're hoping we will reach more people in this area
yes.
as well. We will still have a presence in Plano with the counseling,
yes.
but we will also be located here and our classes will be here. We also have a teaching and learning
yes.
Department, which prepares teachers. And we have a large number of areas, bilingual education, special ed, STEM, learning therapy. There's, we have some very talented faculty in that area for the preparation of educators.
Yes.
We have an educational policy and leadership
yes.
department that works with superintendents and principals. And they will be working with our models, our new model school, to develop a distributed leadership model that I think is going to be very exciting that will address some of the problems of the that we have in urban schools because we lose teachers and administrators. And then we have an applied physiology and wellness.
Yes.
And they do a lot of sports management and sports leadership, as well as biomechanics
yes.
of movements. So
oh, yeah.
basic
yeah.
research in that area, and it's an exciting area.
Peter Wyand.
Peter
yeah.
Wyand. And I'm sure
he is doing amazing things.
And many
yeah.
of your listeners have seen the articles, the New York Times articles, the National
yes.
Geographic, Discover magazine as well, because he's been featured nationally
yes.
and internationally.
Yes, and I'll make sure as we release this to include some links for reference
yes.
purposes.
Yes.
Is counseling here too? Or?
Counseling is moving here at the end of June.
At the end of June,
and
interesting.
Yes. So
where were they before?
They are in Plano.
But is it under umbrella of Simmons too?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Because I was going to tell you, I have several friends in the program right now. I have a friend or two, because they were on the same campus, so mm-hmm. we collaborated.
They're
in
the
a lot
same
of ways.
Department, actually.
Yes. So it's I've heard great feedback of that as well.
Yeah, it's an excellent program. They just received national accreditation. Amazing. They're accredited for 8 years.
Yes.
And that almost never happens with the initial accreditation
yes.
of a program. So they are a phenomenal program.
And how does Guildhall work?
Well, let me add my one more
Please, go ahead. I'm just curious. Yes,
to,
yes.
to this, and then I'll
okay.
talk about Guildhall, because
okay.
that's also an exciting collaboration.
Yes, yes.
The other program we have is really rather unique, and it's Graduate Liberal Studies.
Oh, wow.
And they provide master's and doctoral degrees.
Yes.
And it basically is one of those degrees where you can create your own kind of degree. So if you're interested in social justice, if you're interested in art history and the relationship to communities, there are a lot of different areas that you can put together. So you'll see those advertisements on public TV and on our public radio, on the billboards. And so
That
I would direct people to look at that if they are, if they want a degree, but they can't quite find something that fits their goals.
Yes.
This is one that's very personalized. Guildhall will be our neighbors here on campus. They are located right now in Plano. They're not a part of Simmons. They're a freestanding unit in an SMU.
That's what I thought, that they're kind of on their own.
They're on their own, and they do gaming.
Gaming, yes.
So we have an initiative with them, a collaboration with them and with Lyft, which is the adult literacy nonprofit.
Yes, I heard about it.
We are in the finals for an X Prize. And X Prize issued a challenge that we have so many adults who cannot read or write, and we need to do something about it nationally as well as in Dallas. So they issued a challenge. Can you provide an app that can be accessed easily by your phones that can address adult illiteracy? So we created a game that Guildhall does the special effects for it. We make sure that it's educationally sound.
Yeah.
And we are in the finals for a $3 million prize that they're giving to the best.
Talking about teamwork right there.
Yes. And it has been, and you know, it's funny, there's the opportunity for winning a prize, but I think what we have enjoyed so much is doing something that we know makes a difference in people's lives again.
For sure.
And this app is something that does it in a way that's not painful for adults learning phonics for their initial time.
That's amazing.
So that is, so Guildhall is moving next door into a new building, the Ford building.
Yes.
So they'll be our neighbors, and we're hoping for continued collaboration with Simmons and Guild.
Part of me kind of feels, you know, because I work up in Frisco, live just north of 380, which is for some Oklahoma, and you may need a passport to get there, some people may perhaps say. So part of me wishes that there was a still bigger presence in Plano and Collin County, but I also have empathy and understand the strategic decision to bring it back here because of everything being in one place and the resources and collaborations and whatnot. So I think that's going to be terrific.
And I think the ties that they've made, and I can say that for the dispute resolution and counseling department especially, the ties they have made will persist. So that distance will not be the barrier.
Yeah,
it won't
be
an issue because you realize the value in working together.
For sure.
And we do plan to maintain a presence in the counseling area in Plano and Frisco. Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, on that note, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for your time. You know, very valuable insights. I kind of didn't expect that this will turn to you really asking some questions, but I think I was okay with it because it ultimately provides you value. And that's what I'm about. I feel like I want to make sure that, you know, your persona and your leadership, your credentials and experience, people understand really and get to know you better. But more importantly, you know, see what type of important mission that you're on. And I feel like this was a terrific hour here that a little over than that we've spent together. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Tomas, for the opportunity. And I would love to talk to any of your listeners that are interested in hearing more about
Absolutely.
Either our programs or our initiatives.
Well, you have my promise that I will send them your way. So
thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to The Tomas Show. Please subscribe and share.
What's up, guys? Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Tomas Show with Dr. Stephanie Knight. Your feedback is invaluable. Please, please send me a message. Let me know what was your favorite part of this episode and what you have learned. And I'll catch up with you guys in the next episode. Cheers.